There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. Tonight we have three chilling stories that will make your skin crawl, along with a few other things, Blah, blah, blah. We will hear from the Red Hand and the Lady from the Sea, but first we will begin our terrorific trio with Lights Out. So do it! Turn all the lights out and shut out any other stray rays as well. You will want to make it royal black, as if for a prince of darkness, huh? Afraid so, afraid so. What's the matter? Get to it. You death or something, huh? Spooky, spooky. If you aren't, you wish you were dead until you hear the following grave tale. Yes, it's so scary, you'll find yourself calling for your mommy, huh? Oh, my sakey. In fact, if you want to leave a will, you had better start to make it out now. To whom it may concern, huh? Oh, and don't forget, you must write very clearly and carefully. You don't want it to be too cryptic.
Yes.
So if everyone now is dressed formally in black, let us undertake Lord Marley's guest!
Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. House guests in the days before rationing, and if they didn't wear out their welcome, were an interesting part of our social lives. But tonight we bring you a story of a most unpleasant and unexpected guest who came to visit Lord Marley. But first, for Ironized Yeast, Frank Martin.
Help wanted. To get back that old-time pep and strength and needed weight. Friends, is that you wanting help? Well, if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is why you're so run down, weak, and jittery, get two-way help. Get Ironized Yeast Tablets. They give you both vitamin B1 and iron. They're scientifically designed for these exact deficiencies. No wonder great numbers of men and women who used to suffer from these shortages tell how splendidly Ironized Yeast Tablets have helped them. Often they say it's like a new lease on life. That's right. The name is Ironized Yeast Tablets. And now?
Lights out, everybody.
Oh,
Waiting. Who does the man think we are, I'm asking?
It's like I said to you before we got in here. Try to do a man like his lordship a favor and you'll get it in the neck. That's what I said, and you remember.
Well, I'll give him 5 more minutes to do us the honor, and then it's off I am. I want to look at my nets before the tide changes, that I do. Oh, well, all I'm after is to warn him, then me duty's done.
That's wasting time. He won't believe you. You mark my words.
Won't believe me and me almost losing my boat to the thing?
His lordship will say it was the tide.
Now, you listen to me, Joey. I've been fishing in these waters here for more years than you got brains in your head. And I'm telling you it was a...
It's his lordship.
Boy, looks to be in a blinking temper now, don't he?
Well, what is it?
Oh, wait. If it pleases your lordship, my name is Sam Waller.
I know who you are. You're the fellow I caught poaching rabbits last
night. Now, wait a minute. You didn't catch me poaching nothing. It's an honest fisherman I am, I'll have you know.
Oh, honest, are you? Well, let me tell you, I never forget a face. And if yours isn't the face of the rogue that
I saw... Oh, the rogue, is it? You hear that, Joey? He calls me the rogue.
Yeah, fine one he is to be talking.
Why, you impudent scoundrels. Out of my house. Out of my house.
But, your lordship, we want to tell you...
You tell me nothing, you thieving rascal.
Oh, it's thieving now, is it? For 2 pence, lordship or no lordship, I'd bash that nose of yours so flat it'd look like a corner.
Get out of here. Oh. Get out, I say.
What is the matter?
These scoundrels.
We're not scoundrels, you old coot, you.
Yeah, we was only trying to warn him that he's...
Not another word. Out, I say.
Come on, Sam, let's get out of
here. Get out.
Aristocracy calls himself if he's a gentleman.
Get out, I say. And if you dare trespass on my property again, I'll have the law on your thieving necks. The both of you.
There's no need to shout, Charles.
Boy.
They're gone.
The infernal rascals.
But I don't understand. They spoke of coming here to warn you.
Warn me? Nonsense. Some infernal scheme that I didn't even give them a chance to reveal. Loafers. Spoiled by the government dole.
But I know those men. Why, they're from the village. Good, honest fishermen.
Honest, no good, not one of them. And if they keep up their infernal impudence, this community is going to lose my trade. You can depend on that. We'll never spend another season here. Not if I have anything to say about it. Confounded rascals, warning
all
me.
All right. We'll drop the entire matter right now. What I can't understand is where's that guest of yours?
Hmm?
You said he'd be here by 10 o'clock. Look, it's almost noon.
Yes, my guess. Yes, true.
What is it, Charles?
Didn't I tell you?
Tell me what, dear?
My guest, it's not a man.
No?
Madeline Kay. You've heard of her?
Madeline Kay? No, I'm afraid not. Who is she?
It's a matter of business. I couldn't arrange to be in the office, you know, because of our little outing, so I asked Miss Kay to come here. Pay frightfully large fees, these Americans, you know.
American? Won't you please tell me who she is, Charles?
Why, surely you know her, the cinema star.
Oh, the big blonde wench we saw in that Bang Bang Gangster picture.
Oh, now, don't talk like that. I forbid it.
But the picture was definitely a Bang Bang Gangster picture, my dear Charles. Well, I remember distinctly. At least 7 of the gangmen, as the Americans say, bit the dust.
You have the most outrageous sense of humor. I'm speaking of the woman, my client.
Oh, you mean she isn't a blonde wench?
Oh, really, my dear. Your choice of words is sometimes most inappropriate. The woman is definitely an artist. And my client.
Oh, yes, of course. But was it necessary to have her come here?
Why not?
Well, this is our home.
But I told you it's most important that she consult me. Her financial affairs, you know.
No, I don't know.
But I'm trying to tell you. Oh, great Scott, James. You're not going to be difficult just because I invited a client out here. Confounded silly suspicions.
Now, just a moment, Charles. I have no suspicions.
Well, your attitude.
And I have no attitude. You've invited this woman here on business, and I assure you I'll do everything in my power to make her stay as pleasant as possible. Will she be here for dinner?
to tell you the truth,
Weekend?
Fortnight. You know how those Americans are, pushing.
Fortnight. Very well, Charles. I'll go and tell Jenkins if he should...
Charles, here I am.
Apparently your guest has already arrived, Charles. Mm-hmm. You better go out and welcome her.
Yes, of course. You coming along?
Of course.
Careful of that luggage,
you idiot.
If you scratch it, I'll have you
repaired. You do save her for my child. She has enough luggage piled up in the tonneau that roped her for a permanent invasion.
Well, she,
Charles! Charles, how nice. Oh. You've come out to your doorstep to welcome me just like a feudal knight or something.
Well, by George, Madeline, it's good to see you.
Madeline?
You said something?
No.
Yes, Madeline, this is Lady King.
How do you do?
How do you do? Charles, tell me, what do you think of my new car? It's nice, isn't it? You see, I did take your advice.
You must be tired after your trip, Miss Kay. The roads aren't any too good.
Tired? I'm never tired, am I, Charles? You ought to know. Tried to walk my feet off around the deck, but I wore you down, didn't I?
Oh, you met on shipboard during Charles' trip to America?
Madeleine, you must be tired. A rest before tea, perhaps?
Rest? With all that beautiful ocean right there at the end of the lawn, I should say not.
Swim?
Just what I need. Charles, why don't you get out one of your little boats and take me out there in the middle of that blue water so I can take a dip?
Well, that is to say...
Of course you'll do as Miss Kay asks, Charles. Get out the skiff while I show her to her room. I'm sure she'll want to change before bathing.
Oh, yes. I always use a bathing suit while the sun's shining. Run along, Charles, and get the boat out. You and I have all sorts of talking to do, haven't we, darling?
Yes, of course.
This way, Miss Kay. Jenkins has already taken your things up. You'll just follow me.
Sure, why not? Last place I saw stairs like these was on a set in Hollywood. I've always wanted a place like this.
It's very pleasant here during the summer months. Breeze coming from over the bay all the time. It's really quite nice.
Plenty nice.
Right in here, Miss Kay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
This is the afternoon off for the maids. I'm sorry there's none here to help you. But by the time you get back from your swim, I'm sure one of them will be back.
Oh, it's all right. I've got a bathing suit right in this case here. I think I can get in myself if I hold my breath.
I did want to talk to you.
Talk? Go right ahead.
No. You want to dress?
Oh, stick around. We're all girls together. What's on your mind?
You are very pretty.
You're not as old as I thought you'd be.
You met my husband for the first time on the boat coming back to England.
Blasted blankety catches of all the rotten luggage. There, that does it. Now, where's that doggone suit?
You did meet Charles for the first time on the boat, didn't you?
Yes, of course. Oh, am I putting it on in the wrong places?
Will no business keep you in England very long?
Long? I should hope.
Why have you come here, Miss Kay?
Charles invited me. Didn't you know?
Why have you come here?
What you mean is, madam, are your intentions strictly honorable? I played a part like that once in stock, and was I lost? Terrible.
Why don't you answer me directly?
Okay, why not? What have I got to lose? Even if you pass along what I say to Charles, he won't believe you. He's a gentleman. Or, is he?
Tell me.
What is there to tell you, guessed it? Like a man, Charles thought you wouldn't, but I knew you would.
It's been going on ever since he met you.
You catch on fast, don't you?
You are cold.
Sister, when you've been around the way I have, you get to know all the answers. And you make up a couple of new ones, too.
But Charles, over 20 years older than you.
And with $20 million more dollars than me.
But you're wealthy.
Press agent stuff. I'm on the skids as far as Hollywood's concerned.
I beg your pardon.
Skid, you know, a one-way street leading down.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't talk like this to my own sister, but as long as you and me got our hair down, what's the difference? The truth is, I'm just about washed up in pictures. Not that I can't act circles around many of those little... they got out there, but it's just that... Well, I was way up there, now I'm on my way down. That's that. So
you met Charles on shipboard and fell in love with him.
Love?
You laugh?
Well, I'm sure not crying. But I am going to marry him.
You what?
I said I'm going to marry him.
My husband?
He won't be long.
You either have a poor idea of humor or you're absolutely insane.
Now, I suppose you'll pull the line about my husband loves me. He'll never leave me.
He won't leave me.
No. I know, Charles. There have been others. But he never invited any of those others to his home, now, did he? But he did invite me. And I'll stay here as long as I please. And in the end, I won't be the one to go.
Why do you say such horrible things?
Not so sure of yourself anymore, are you, Lady Jane? They never were as pretty as I am before, were they? And they never knew their way around the way I do now, did they?
You'll go. I won't permit you to stay.
Oh, really?
Charles wouldn't dare.
Oh, already. Come on in.
Well, what a charming, charming picture you make.
Yes, I think so, too.
Charles, could I speak to you alone?
No, not now, Jane. I want to take Madeline for a sail before the wind changes. Come, Madeline.
Right with you, dear. See you later, Jay.
Better take my arm, Madeline. These old steps, quite steep, you know. After all, I wouldn't want anything so happy to so calm.
Oh, Charles.
There he goes, Sam.
I see him.
But we ought to warn him.
I tried. You saw what I got. Fair booted me out of the place.
Yeah, he's got his lady with him in the boat.
His lady? Where's your eyes? That ain't a ladyship. A ladyship's a lady. She wouldn't be wearing a suit like that. Yellow and not enough of it to... Oh, let him sail out there. Why should I warn the likes of them? No, thank you. I'll not waste a breath warning him or her. Not a breath.
Madeline.
Now, Charles, steer the boat.
I'd give anything.
Anything?
Name it.
Not now. Oh.
What's the matter?
That wind, where did it come from?
By George. The sun has gone down, hasn't it?
No clouds, yet no sun. What kind of a place is this, anyway?
Yes, it is strange.
I thought I'd go swimming. Oh, come on, turn back. This is about as much fun as walking in a graveyard.
By Jove, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
We're becalmed, and I forgot the oars at the landing.
Oh, nice going. So what do we do now? Camp out here in the middle of the ocean until the Boy Scouts come after us?
You have a delightful sense of humor.
I'm getting a chill that isn't so delightful.
Yeah, I'm deucedly sorry. Here. Put my coat around you. Lovely.
Hmm. The wind hasn't cooled you off any, has it? What was that?
What?
You hear it like a fish. You don't have whales in these parts, do you?
Whales? By Jove.
There it is again.
Yes, I heard it.
The water is so smooth.
Oh, just a fish jumping, probably. Oh, this is cozy. Becalmed at a very opportune time, if I might say so.
Yeah, I can't very well walk home, can I?
Anything for you.
You'll have your chance.
Anything. Now, what is it?
I thought I saw that rope up there at the bow, or whatever you call it, move.
Rope?
Yes, squirm sort of. Imagine that. I haven't had a drink in a week.
But there's no ropes at the bow?
Oh, yes, there is too.
Huh?
Charles.
It's no rope.
Then what is it?
I can't quite make out.
It is a rope. It is a rope. I tell you, it is.
I'm not quite sure.
Another one. Charles, look, another one. Came out of the water.
Oh.
It's moving. Moving down along the deck. Charles, how can there be snakes out here?
Not snakes.
What's the matter with you? What are they? Look, there's two of them. Slimy.
There's another. Thick as a man's chest.
And another one.
Coming out of the water. Oh, no. It can't be. It can't.
What is it, Charles? What is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure none of us would mind a little time for breathtaking in this amazing story, Lord Marley's Guest. Yes, before returning to the play, let's consider the reality of a wartime problem that affects you.
No, I simply won't go to the service men's dance tonight. Who would want to dance with me anyway? Since I've lost so much weight, I don't look like anything. I'm so on edge and tired out again tonight. Can't eat. I just know I'll lie awake till all hours, the same as last night. Honestly, I'm worried about myself.
Well, getting worried can't help. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, very probably ironized yeast tablets can.
Vitamin B1 and iron? Ionized yeast tablets? What do you mean?
Just this. Nutrition authorities say improper eating due to wartime living may cause a person to become deficient in vitamin B1 and iron, two substances essential to normal weight, strength, and energy. And ionized yeast tablets supply those exact two substances, vitamin B1 with iron. They're scientifically compounded to help two ways in these deficiencies. Yes, help you two ways to look and feel and be your old-time peppy, sparkling self again.
Maybe I should try ionized yeast tablets.
By all means do, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron. Then see if pretty soon you aren't saying...
How grand it is to feel good again. How glad I am that I took ionized yeast tablets.
And now back to tonight's play, Lord Marley's Guest.
Hear it, Sam? Hear it?
Aye, I hear it. There's trouble out there.
But what, I'm asking?
Oh, I can't see. They're too far off. Too far off.
Oh, listen to her. Sam, it can't be...
What else in the devil's name can it be? The Lord forgive me. I should have warned him. Dirty pride or not, I should have warned him. I should have warned...
Fisherman!
Sam, it's her ladyship running this way.
The Lord help her. What can
fisherman.
She do for him?
Fisherman, help me. Please, help
the Lord
me.
Help you, Mum. What can we do?
He's calling to us. What is Sam, then? Get into your boat. We've got to get out there and help him. Listen to him. Oh, help him. In his name, help me.
All right. Come ahead, Mom.
God bless you.
Sam, have you lost your head? You're not going out there.
Step in forward, Mom. Watch your step.
Sam, you're balmy. It's the death out there.
Hand me that oar, Joe, and shove her off.
Sam, you can't be going out there. You was the one that warned us off. And now you're going out yourself. Sure, I'll shove you off. But I'm coming with you.
Good man, Joe.
Hurry.
That we will. Dig your oars in deep, Joe.
Deep it is. Devil himself may be waiting out there, but here we go to meet him. Faster, Sam. Go faster.
Back of me, Madeline. Stay back of me.
Horrible things reaching out. You've got to tell me what they are. What? Tell me.
Behind us. Look.
No, those snake things crawling toward me. I've got to keep my eyes on them. If I watch them, they can't hurt me. Yes, that's it.
Madeline,
if I watch them, they can't
Madeline,
hurt me.
Watch out.
Can they hurt
watch
me?
Out.
Can they?
What?
Answer me, you. Can they hurt me? What are you staring like that for?
Now I know. I know what it is.
It?
Eight arms coming out of the water. The body must be beneath.
What are you talking about? What body?
It's body. There. Steel shaking the boat. It's holding on with those horrible arms.
Arms? What are you raving about? Snakes?
No.
Slimy water snakes?
No, not snakes. I'd give my soul if there were. They're arms. It's arms.
Stop saying that.
It's arms. And it's waiting. Waiting underneath the sea for it. Waiting for it. Help. Help, somebody.
Charles.
Help.
Charles, what is it?
Help.
What? Tell me.
Devilfish.
No.
An octopus larger than the boat. Suckers on its tentacles.
Oh, my leg. One of those crawling things on my leg. Get it off. Get it off my leg.
I can't budge it. I can't budge it.
Oh, get it off.
Devilfish, you. Let go of her. Let go. Oh, my neck. No.
Faster, I beg you, sir.
Sam, look. The boat is turned over.
They're fighting something in the water.
No, we can't let them drown. No,
we can't. It's a devilfish.
I see it, too. Its arms, they're longer than the mast of the boat itself. The tide's taking us right into it. Get at your horse, Joe. We'll get out of here.
Yeah, let's go of our oars, Mama.
I won't let you turn back.
Let go of the horse, woman.
I won't let you turn
It'll
back.
Kill us, too.
They're killing them.
Playing with them like a cat with a mouse.
Oh, no.
Lifting them up in those great slimy arms and then dropping them back in the sea again. Held him under and drowned him.
No, no. Brought him up again. See?
Aye, but what? Oh, no.
What is it? What is that terrible thing that's lifting out of the water?
It's Ed, see? It's bringing the body toward its Ed. It's going to... No, don't look, Mom. No, he's dead anyways, Mom. Joe, let's get out of here. Come on, for it.
No. Wait. The woman. Let's let her go. The woman.
Aye?
She's swimming for it. This way. This way.
No, let's get out of here. Get at the oars, man.
No, wait, David. Too late for him, but we can't leave her.
Right. We'll get you, miss.
He's too tired to swim anymore.
Stay afloat, miss.
Oh, hurry.
Come on, Sam. Put your back to that oar. We'll get you, miss. Well, bring her around, Sam. Never quit.
Aye, that I will. Got you now. Up you go. Up and in. That's it, Mom. In you go now.
You're safe.
Look. He's gone.
Eh?
The monster, the devilfish, gone. Under the water. Quick, put the girl down there in the bow and let's get out of here before he pulls us down.
Right.
It's all right. You're safe enough. You're safe, I tell you. Safe. Yes, safe.
Stop it.
Stop it. No. Stop saying it. What is it? Why do you stop? We've got to get ashore. The woman is hysterical.
Sam, something is holding the boat back.
No, it can't be. We're almost at the beach and...
Look over the port side.
What?
The octopus. Row.
It's underneath the water, holding us back.
Tentacle. Horrible black thing.
Come on, into the stern with us.
On the sea.
Another arm.
I'll push it down. Beat it off with your oar, man.
Oh, stay back, you fool.
Twisted the oar right out of my hand. Look, another arm. And they're all moving up towards her.
He doesn't see it.
He thinks she's safe.
Around her neck, it's wrapping around.
Oh. Dragged her over.
The boat's free. Free, I tell you, free. It's let go of us. We'll get away.
But why should that be? Dragged her over and let us go?
Aye. That's so. Picked her right out of the boat. And now the water's so calm and clear. And look, the sun's come out.
Huh? Aye. And his lordship and the blonde one dead under the sea. What say you, Mom?
Dead under the sea. Dead herself.
Dobler, all I've got to say is...
That brr is certainly an expressive one, Frank, but before we talk of brrs, I do want to thank June Dupre and Joseph Granby and Mary Jane Croft. And now, speaking of brrs, I think it reminds all of us that there's a strange, icy hand of retribution which apparently eventually seems to catch up with evildoers. Right at the moment, a man by the name of... what was it again? Oh, yes, Mussolini is remembering that. And now, Frank... After you've had a few words, I want to come back and tell our audience about a play which we're going to do next week. May I go on record right now as saying that I am looking forward to next week's Lights Out with more eagerness than I have to any play of this series. I'll tell all of you about that as soon as Frank Martin says a few words for Iron IG.
If you're so jittery and run down, often so tired out that you miss out on your work and fun, and if it's simply because you're short on vitamin B1 and iron... Remember, ironized yeast tablets give you these exact two substances. Now, of course, the rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, remember, ironized yeast has been so successful in such cases that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't start to eat better, to feel much stronger and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. And now, what's this about your eagerness over next week's play, Mr. Obler?
Well, a man can write a play with his tongue in his cheek or with his heart or with his mind. I'll say quite frankly, I wrote next week's play with heart and mind because it's a play that I wanted to do and I know you'll want to hear. It's not the usual lights-out play by any means. It's intended for even those in your family who may not be particularly interested in the mysterious and fantastic. So, have the entire family listening in, yes, children too, next week when we broadcast The Story of the Future, Your Future.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's Story of the Future. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
No, really, that was scary. That was the definition of scary, huh? Oh, too bad, though. Lord Marley's guests should have been more suspicious about that fatal sailing trip, huh? Should have smelled something fishy, huh? Besides, she never could have married him. He was a noble, you know? I mean, on a whole nother scale. Ah, let me tell you. She even admitted it. She said there was a $20 million difference. I'd make it out to be more like 20,000, though. 20,000 leagues? Yes. Now, I didn't know that the octopus had 8 legs. But I guess he had to if he wanted to swallow Lord Marley, huh? Too bad. Not exactly a happy ending, either. But it's not too late for her to fall in love, get married, and have squids, huh? Yes. Imagine, just what if? Think of all the papers that could be used to write on the subject, or all the barrels of ink. I knew that would get you, yes. But she should just be glad to be alive. Maybe count her lucky starfishes, huh? Oh, so now onto that cave beside the rest of the sea. It's time for the Weird Circle!
The Weird Circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, The Red Hand.
I am standing here in the rain, waiting for him to die. And in a moment now, the sound of the trap dropping open will echo over the shining wet street, and he will be dead. Then I can walk in this world I live in. Walk as freely as perhaps you do, without death in the wake of my footsteps. Listen. My life was not always bounded by four walls and a lonesome room. No, my life was full, rich and full, and I lived in a French province on the Upper Rhine. I was beautiful, they said. Golden hair, vigorous with life. They said I could have married any man in all the province. I was wealthy as well as beautiful. Oh, many years ago, it seems, I was visiting Madame Ruprecht in Strasbourg. At a party there one night, I met Monsieur de La Tourelle.
A very great pleasure, mademoiselle.
Oh, how do you do, monsieur? And thank you.
Some champagne out on the terrace, mademoiselle?
Thank you, monsieur. I think a breath of fresh air would be very nice.
Well, this is better. I'm more at home under a full moon.
Really? A different girl under the same old moon.
Oh, please, mademoiselle. I only meant that this is more appropriate. Outdoors, moon, the smell of the night, the trees, and you. A beautiful woman to talk to.
Oh, thank you, monsieur.
Mademoiselle Mumbo, permit me. We have just met, but I have never known a more beautiful woman, ever.
Oh.
Anyone I wanted more to kiss.
Oh, you shouldn't kiss me like that, monsieur.
Well, don't look so surprised.
Do I?
Exactly the same way as when I kissed your hand back there.
Shall we go in?
To safety?
Oh, please, monsieur, I... Oh, is Madame Ruprecht looking for us?
Anne, Monsieur de La Tourelle. Well, I can't turn my back for a second. Where have you two been?
We were just up.
Just a breath of fresh air, you know. Oh. You have other acquaintances for me to meet, I'll gamble.
How did you guess? Come along, monsieur.
Au revoir, mademoiselle. We shall meet again.
There you are, Anne Monbeau. I have some wonderful news for you.
Oh?
And where's Monsieur de La Tourelle? He had to leave hurriedly. Send his good night through me. But listen, he's coming to see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I arranged it all.
But what if I don't care to see him?
But my dear, he's a catch if there ever was one. They say he's fabulously rich, has a chateau in the Vosges and everything. And you object to his wanting to visit you.
Forgive me. I suppose it is all right.
Of course it is. Now run along and get ready.
Well, Monsieur de La Tourelle did come to see me the next day. And the day after that. And within a week, he'd stolen my heart. Oh, I was delirious with this new kind of happiness. So we were married. And my husband took me to his chateau, Les Rochers, tucked away in the scenic Vosges Mountains. All those first few weeks were wonderful weeks. And foolishly, I believed they would never end. At first, I only sensed something was wrong. He would leave me alone for days and nights on end. I was not allowed to go outside the walls. The servants spied on me. Neighbors who came for an occasional visit were told that I was ill, that I was unable to see anyone at all. I could not understand my husband's attitude. And then one evening, my only friend, my Norman maid, Amant, told me a letter for me was in my husband's study. It was the first letter I'd received since the first day I came to Les Rochers.
It is true, madame. I had no business to look inside the desk drawer, but I did. And there I saw the letter.
Addressed to me?
Yes, madame.
But why? I was told that I'd never received a single letter here.
Oh, forgive me, madame, but that is not true. The letter is there. It is that, well, Monsieur de La Tourelle is keeping it from you.
But how could he? Why? Amand, you must help me to get that letter.
I will, madame, gladly. Now, while Monsieur de La Tourelle is not at home.
Quiet, Amand. Hold the light higher.
Hurry then, madame, while I close the door.
Good. Now this way. Desk is over here. We can get the letter and be gone before anyone... Hold the light high, Lamont. I can't see. What happened?
The candle, madame. Oh. It blew out. The portière.
Heaven's name, what can we do now?
Take the letter to your bedroom.
Then bring it back later. Oh, no, no, that would be dangerous. You go get a fresh light. I'll stay here and wait for you.
But, madame, suppose he should...
Do as I say. He returns tomorrow. Now, hurry.
If you wish,
hurry,
but...
Hurry and be quiet. I'll close the portières. The candle mustn't blow out again. What was that?
Easy there, Lefebvre. Not so much noise.
Oh, my husband.
Durrell, we should have buried this man where we killed him. He's heavy. There. Fool.
Do you want us to be discovered? Fine thing if we had the gendarme from Strasbourg down in the district investigating. I've told you again and again. We must have peace around Le Rocher if we want to carry on our little business without interference. Too bad Monsieur de Poissy came upon us while we were robbing that merchant from Cologne. Oh, he was such a good neighbor.
I still think we should have robbed him and thrown him in the bushes.
I'll make the decisions. It's a good thing Blanchard here has no tongue. I couldn't stand two of you gabbing all the time. Listen. Someone's coming.
Oh, monsieur, I did not...
Oh, come in, Armand. Now, what are you doing in my study?
Monsieur, I thought you...
Yes. Yes, that I was out. You know this cannot be tolerated. What did you want?
Well, there was a letter for madame among the mail. I thought to get it and take it to her.
Oh, a letter, eh?
Yes, monsieur.
And she probably wants it very much.
I thought so, monsieur. I thought I'd surprise...
Well, you can't have it. I'll decide whether madame will or won't have her letter.
Yes, monsieur.
Now get out of here. And if I ever catch you snooping in these rooms again, I'll cut out your heart. Go on now. Out.
Yes, sir.
Oh, stupid woman.
Not so stupid. Blanchard and me, we stood in front of the body, but I think she saw his face.
Oh, nonsense. The fool was scared to death.
Nevertheless, you shouldn't have let her go. She'll talk. We should have slit her throat.
Oh, don't be an old woman, Lefebvre. She can tell nothing of tonight's business. Yes, and what's unusual about my early return from a trip? That can easily be explained.
Maybe so. But these women around here will get you in trouble yet.
Oh, nonsense. My wife knows nothing, suspects even less. If she knew I was leader of the Mer Rouge, stealing, robbing, murdering cutthroats, they call us. If she but knew, she would have a stroke, I think.
What makes you so sure your wife knows nothing?
She's too simple for that. Besides, if I thought for 1 minute that she knew anything... Well, see this dagger? It would be in her heart, good Lefebvre.
What was that?
What? Oh, the portiere. The wind, Lefebvre, only the wind. Why, you're jumpy as a cat.
I must have a look. I'm sure someone was at the window.
No one's there. Now get about your business. See what's in Monsieur de Poissy's pockets. Ah, poor fellow. If he had only not come by when we were roasting that merchant's foot.
Hey, you, Blanchard, help me stand him up. We can search better that. No, I don't trust your women. Remember your other wife, Victorine.
Yes, I had to send her on a long journey.
But this one is sly. What she knows, she keeps to herself, or tells the gendarmes, maybe?
No, Lefebvre. She knows nothing. But before she learns the truth, she too will go on a journey.
Oh, I see. And she is a wealthy woman, no?
Do you think I would marry a woman who wasn't? Of course she's wealthy. When she's dead, it will be mine. Just as Victorine's was.
How will you murder her?
I've yet to plan that, but it must be a clever way. Yeah, we shall see. And now come along. There's food in the galley.
But the body...
Oh, it's safe enough here. Armand is too scared to return, and no one else knows I'm back. It's all right. Come on, Fletch Blanchard.
Come on, Blanchard, come on.
Did you get a good look at the merchant's eyes when his feet were roasting?
Madame, where are you?
Here, over here, behind the portieres.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm a little faint. I heard them go off.
Oh, I was so frightened they would discover you.
Oh, if they had. Here, give me a hand. Help me up.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, a body.
A what?
Give me a hand, Amand. There, steady. Pull now. That's it.
Oh,
what is it, madame?
I felt the corpse.
Corpse?
Yes.
Poor Monsieur de Poissy.
De Poissy. He murdered.
Oh, quickly, Amand. We must leave here tonight. My husband is the leader of the Mar Rouge.
Mar Rouge? You mean... It can't be.
Yes. They stood boasting of the exploits while I hid behind the portieres.
Oh, madame, your life. It is in very great danger.
And yours, Amand.
Anyone who knows about the Mar Rouge.
Death. Yes. Oh, we must leave tonight, now.
Oh, madame, at once, hurry. We must leave at once.
Hasty preparations. Amant packed some food. She even found men's clothing for disguise. As we left the estate secretly, we could hear Monsieur de la Tourelle and his accomplice, Lefebvre, discussing an appropriate burial place for the body. Going by side roads, we struck out for Strasbourg in the roles of a traveling tailor and his wife. Amant looked the part of the tailor very well, and I had told her to pretend she was dumb and couldn't speak. I dyed my hair and made myself up beyond recognition. Several days later, we were halfway to Strasbourg. It was late afternoon, and needing food and shelter for the night, we stopped at a country blacksmith's, offering to mend clothes in return for an overnight stay.
With luck, we will be in Strasbourg in a few days. Once inside the city, Monsieur will never find us.
Hush, not too loud. Here's the blacksmith's wife.
All going well?
Yes, it's close to sundown, though. We could use a light.
All right, I'll guess it. That's the third time you've asked. Always the same answer. She just won't burn it until she must.
What's that?
A man on horseback.
Oh, he's stopping. Can you make out who he is?
The gentlemen are standing. The blacksmith and his wife are greeting him. Courage, madame.
Oh, Amand, it's...
Monsieur de la Tourelle, outside there.
Oh, heaven protect us. What can we do?
Courage. Here he comes. Hmm. You do the talking if necessary. You will recognize I am not the man.
Right.
Go on with the sewing unless he interrupts us.
Shh.
Here they come. Pray she doesn't fetch the light we asked for.
Well, I can get you a sandwich and some coffee, monsieur.
Only a bite. Anything I can eat and drink in my hand while my horse is being shot.
Well, 1 minute, monsieur.
Oh, tailors. You may be able to help me.
Huh?
I am looking for my wife and her maid. A beautiful blonde woman and a robust Norman. They fled my house, taking with them money and jewels. Of this last, of course, I care little. But to lose my wife, that is a tragedy. Perhaps in your travels you've seen such a pair.
Oh, no, monsieur. Not at all.
You could not mistake them.
Your coffee and sandwich, monsieur.
Huh? Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Please tell your husband to make haste. I shall pay him double if he hurries.
Pierre, hurry with the horse. Monsieur pays double for quick work.
Then, monsieur, it is finished.
You heard that, monsieur, it's finished.
Good. I shall go then.
Oh, but the sandwiches, the coffee.
Yes. Here.
5 francs. Oh, that is too much, monsieur. And you ate nothing.
No matter. I must hurry.
We slept very little that night, and we were on our way early next morning. I'd been forced to sell a rather peculiar ring, given me by my husband, to a jeweler the day before. It was only a matter of time when my husband would stumble onto that clue. So, with all caution, we had to hurry. At first, we thought of giving up the idea of going to Strasbourg and of going on to my husband's home instead. But we knew Monsieur de La Tourelle would have spies all over that region by now. It would have been suicide to risk going home. We took a room in an inn several miles from the city. And on the same evening, a Madame Berenice de Roder, on her way to Paris, stayed at the inn. Armand remarked on how closely her features resembled mine, how her long blonde hair could have been mine. I thought nothing more of it at the time, and we retired. But in the middle of the night, voices in the courtyard awakened us. Armand! Armand, wake up!
Yes. Is it time to go?
Shh! Someone's coming up the stairs. It sounds like Monsieur de La Tourelle.
I'm very tired. I'd like very much to
go. He's outside. Oh, I shall scream if he comes in.
No, no, Monsieur de La Tourelle. That is not the room. Down that way.
Oh. Oh, the number is similar. Thank you. Good night now.
We must get out of here. Now.
No, no. If we went without paying, the innkeeper would remember us. Would throw suspicion on us.
We must stay.
But he tried to come here.
No, he didn't. It was a mistake. He was looking for another room. You'll see I'm right.
I hope you're right. I hope so.
Monsieur, we want to pay our bill.
Oui, madame, oui.
Is that correct?
Oui, madame.
What is the excitement over there?
Oh, have you not heard, madame?
No.
That poor young lady, Madame the Baroness de Roder, was murdered in her bed.
Oh.
Yes. It happened during the night. When she did not rise at 10, her maid went up, and there she was, a knife in her heart, with a little note stuck to the handle. Oh, my poor place. This will ruin me.
Well, what did the note say?
It said, once more the Mains Rouges have avenged themselves.
The police, they know who did it.
Without a doubt. It was the elegant gentleman I told them came here during the night. He was not seen this morning.
I see. Then he will be brought to justice for this.
Oh, on the contrary, madame. Nothing will be done. The prosecutor plans to let the matter drop. He does not care to risk the vengeance of the Mains Rouges. They have sworn, you know, to kill anyone who betrays them. Oh, one never knows who in a gathering are members of the secret band.
Oh, it's a pity. The poor woman.
It is not good for business either.
Good day then, monsieur.
Good day, madame, and thank you.
Madame, you know why she died?
Yes, Amant, I know. She was mistaken for me. Now I wonder when he will learn his mistake. If a man had not been with me to share the terror, I could never have found my way to Strasbourg. There we'd rented a small, ill-lighted room, and for a day or two we felt secure in it, out of their murderous reach. We saw no one, we went nowhere, but at last the time came when our money was gone, and Armand went out in search of a job. When she returned...
Madame, the pay is not much, but it will help until you can get some money of your own.
These people you're to work for, they sound like good folk. You should be very happy.
I won't see you every day.
Oh, Armand, how can that matter?
But it is not that which worries me.
Well, then, what is it?
I had some trouble today. Remember the jeweler to whom you sold your ring?
Yes, of course I do.
He is here, in Strasbourg. He saw me. I am positive he knew who I was because he followed me. I felt sure I managed to lose him. But now I can't be sure.
Oh, Armand, then it's not safe for you to leave here again. That jeweler, he's working for my husband.
Yes, madame. But I'm sure that nothing will happen to me.
Your life is in danger, Armand.
But you said yourself we need the money my job will bring. I must go, madame. I promise.
No.
I must go.
Armand, come back. That evening, a knock sounded on my door. I was filled with terror.
I didn't answer it. Then slowly the door began to swing open.
Madame. Madame La Tourelle.
No, no. You have the wrong room. Go away.
You are, Madame Tourelle. I know you are.
No, no.
Do not be afraid of me. I haven't come here to do you harm.
What do you want?
My name is Baron de Ritter.
Oh, you are...
Yes, my wife was the Baroness de Ritter. She was murdered by the Malruf.
I had nothing to do with it, Baron. Believe me,
I know you are innocent, madame. I have come to help you.
How did you find me?
The jeweler, your maid. I've been searching for you for weeks.
But how can you help?
It's simple. I would find this man, this de La Tourelle, and see that he is hanged for the murder of my wife. He's in hiding. He has many accomplices. Only you can help me find him.
But how can I do that?
Your husband knows now that it was not you he murdered, but my wife. He would find you if he can and kill you, too.
Yes, it is my life. He wants my silence.
Then we must seek him out before he can find you.
But how? What could
it would mean risking your life, madame. Perhaps even death.
Perhaps death would be better than this hiding. What shall I do?
Then you will help me. It's very simple. All you must do is leave this room and walk about Strasbourg. Someone of the Main Rouge will see you. He will report to your husband, and then he will come out from his hiding place to kill you.
And if he succeeds...
I will take every protection to see that he will not succeed. But there is still the risk. Before you answer, madame, I must tell you...
Yes?
Your maid, Armand. Tonight she was stabbed in the heart.
Oh, Armand... Poor Armand.
Now, what is your answer?
I will do it, Baron. When do I start?
There is no need to wait. Tonight, madame. Tonight.
All of Strasbourg seemed silent. Sleep that night. And even the air was still with a solemn hushness. I walked along the dark streets. The flesh on my back crawled with terror, for constantly I pictured my husband creeping behind me to strike. On and on I went, forgetting to feel tired, forgetting everything except that soon it would be over, one way or the other. Any moment might bring death, or a free life. The night grew cold. Now and again I turned to look back, searching the shadows for even a glimpse of the Baron and the gendarmes who were following me. Never once did I see them. I could have sworn they were not there. I turned the corner.
Anne.
Monsieur de La Tourelle.
Yes, it is I, Anne.
That knife, shining in the light. You're going to kill me.
Yes, I am going to kill you.
Gendarmes, seize it!
There, Monsieur de La Tourelle. Your murderous career is over. Gendarmes, take him away.
So they took him away, and on his face was a hideous sneer of hatred for me, his wife, here on this empty street. Down this cold gray wall of stone, the rain from the heavens falls. Free rain. And in a moment, he will be dead. In a moment, I will be... Now. Now it is done. I'm free at last. Monsieur de La Tourelle, my husband. Oh, if I could have helped you. If you had wanted my love or my help. Poor Monsieur de La Tourelle. Poor man. You did not really live. For you never knew the happiness of goodness or the serenity of kindness in your soul. So may you feel the sweet, free rain upon your heart.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
The Weird Circle is distributed exclusively by Nostalgia Broadcasting Corporation, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Scary, 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 wasn't it, huh? I've never seen something so scary in all my days. Oh, I mean the Red Hand. Back in Transylvania, we have something similar. It's called the Red Neck. Yes. Oh, but don't worry about it. It's only in the deep woods, what we like to call the boondocks. I tell you. Now, I really think it's interesting how in France, only the servants speak with an accent, and all the masters have perfect English. I wonder if anyone speaks French in France. I tell you, I've heard a French kiss. In fact, that's why I picked up my French bite, huh? Yes, it was a French person. A French person. But I'd really like to go see the country, you know? Especially Paris. The city of frights?
Yes, yes.
I'd also like to see a few other landmarks, like the mystery soldier's grave. What's that called? The tomb of the unknown, the blood type?
Yes, yes.
But the thing I'd like to see most is perhaps the most famous thing about Paris, the awful tower, huh?
See if it's as bad as they say.
But I don't really think I'd care for Versailles. It sounds like it has too many mirrors. But I won't give you time to reflect on that one, huh?
Yes! On straight to the Whistler!
And now stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who's guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In The Whistler.
Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler, rated by Independent Research, the most popular West Coast program in radio history. And now The Whistler's strange story, Lady from the Sea.
For 15 years, Myra Cartwright had lived in a shadow. The shadow of a knife and a note. A note that could destroy everything she'd built up in 15 years of hard work. Yes, a shadow that even the glittering lights of Hollywood could not dispel. Myra had now reached the peak of her fame. The light of her stardom was burning brightly. Her houses in Bel Air and Palm Springs were showplaces. And her face was on the cover of four magazines this month. Then something in the morning paper struck terror to her heart. And at the same instant, a cloud crossed before the sun. Myra shivered. The newspaper slipped from her fingers to the bedroom floor.
Ella! Ella!
Miss Myra, what's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I have.
What's that, Miss Myra?
The newspaper, look. Look at it.
Piper?
There on the front page. The picture.
What? Why, it's a picture of Paradise Pier. And the old cafe built like a ship.
The lady from the sea. They're tearing down the pier, Ella. They're going to destroy the lady from the sea.
Memory-haunted landmarks of early film colony days fast disappearing. The furnishings of the famous old Lady from the Sea Cafe, a favourite meeting place of the silent film era, will go on the auction block today. According to an announcement...
Ella, call the studio. Tell them I won't be there today.
But what'll I tell?
Tell them anything. I'm sick, anything. I don't care. I've got to go to that auction.
Yes, the dismantling of an old cafe built like a ship had a strange significance in the life of Myra Cartwright. To her, the Lady from the Sea Cafe meant more than memories of plushy Hollywood parties and Prohibition Gin. It stood for Craig Douglas, the one-time Hollywood director who once owned it. It stood for Craig's beautiful wife, Norma Douglas, star of the silent films. And above all, it brought back memories of that evening 15 years ago when Myra, then a farm girl from Montana, radiant after her first important screen role in Marie Dressler's latest picture, had stood beside Craig on the upper deck of the Lady from the Sea Cafe, overlooking the churning waters that moved under Paradise Pier.
Craig.
Yes, darling.
Craig, did you talk to Norma?
Yes. The answer's still the same. She won't consent to a divorce.
Craig, I've been thinking. You could force her into a divorce.
What?
I mean, well, if it were known about us, she'd have to.
No, no. I won't have that, Myra. She'd drag your name through the mud and take pleasure doing it.
But, darling, I...
No, Myra. No, you're young, on the threshold of a great career. Bad publicity would ruin you.
I don't care about my career. I don't care about anything but you.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Craig, what are we going to do?
Very little, I'm afraid. Myra.
Yes?
You remember the Ibsen play we read together?
The one you named the cafe for, The Lady from the Sea?
Uh-huh. He took from his pocket a key ring.
And drew a ring that he always wore from his finger. And he took a small ring that I had. These two he put on the key ring, and he said, we should wed ourselves to the sea.
Wed?
Yes, so he said. And with that, he threw the key ring and our rings with all his might, as far as he could, into the deep.
Myra, give me your ring.
Here.
And now mine. Yours and mine. On the key ring. There!
Craig, darling.
Do you remember the rest of the lines?
For she is mine. And mine she will remain.
And she shall follow me if I should come back and fetch her as a drowned man from the dark sea.
Oh, Craig. Craig.
Well, here we are, my darling. You got your key?
Uh-huh. Won't you come in for a few minutes, Craig?
No, I better not. It's past midnight, and you got to be on the set early in the morning.
All right. I... Well,
what's the matter?
That's strange. The lights are... I'm sure I turned them out when I left the apartment tonight.
Hello, darling.
Well,
Norma.
Your landlady told me it would be quite all right if I waited for you here, Myra. I told her I was a friend. You don't mind, do you?
Norma, what are you doing here?
Oh, I just wanted to drop around and have a little talk with your protégé.
What do you want?
I don't want anything, Craig. I understood you wanted a divorce.
This is hardly the place to discuss that again.
There won't be any discussion, Craig. I've made up my mind to give you a divorce.
What?
Oh, Norma.
Why not? There's nothing left between us. I was a fool to think otherwise, so... Well, you two can make your plans.
Oh, Norma, I don't know what to say.
Then don't say anything, darling.
Well, it's awfully decent of him.
I only want you to be happy.
I want you to know, Norma, I'm grateful to you for giving Craig up.
I'm sure you'll be quite happy together, even with what you'll have left.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's right. We haven't discussed the terms of the divorce yet, have we, darling?
Terms?
The financial settlement.
Norma, we can talk about that later.
No, I want to discuss it right now. I want Myra to know what she's costing you, Craig.
Norma, I don't understand.
Craig can have his divorce, Myra, provided he gives me the Malibu house, the ranch, the cafe, cars, and everything else he owns.
Well, you can't be serious.
Oh, but I am. And another thing, I'm afraid you'll have to leave the studio. The place is cluttered with second-rate directors, as it is.
Second-rate?
It's all you ever were, Craig, and you're not even that anymore. You're a has-been. You'd have been out of a job long ago if it hadn't been for me. And if you go through with this, I'll see to it that you're finished in Hollywood. I think I'm big enough to do it.
Yes, I expect you are.
Norma, you can't ask Craig to do this. I won't let him. I won't have it this way.
You mean you won't have Craig this way? Money really is important, isn't it, Myra? Without it, Craig has lost his appeal, hasn't he, darling?
It was just a trick, wasn't it, Norma? You never intended to divorce Craig.
I'm grateful to you for giving Craig up.
You just want to torture us. Stop it. Stop
I'll never let you have him. Do you understand? Never, you poor, stupid little fool.
Stop it!
Myra! Myra, put down that knife!
No, Myra, don't!
It's all over in an instant, isn't it, Myra? The paper knife in your hand. The sudden, blind, raging lunge at Norma. And now she lies on the floor at your feet. Then you feel Craig's arm around you.
Myra, give me the knife.
She laughed at me.
Give me the knife.
She's dead. I've killed her because she laughed. Oh, Craig.
Darling, get hold of yourself. Do you hear?
I didn't mean to.
I know. Now listen to me. I've got to get her out of here. I want you to go downstairs, drive my car around to the back of the building, and leave it there.
Oh, no, Craig. I can't.
You've got to. I'll take Norma down the back stairs. No one will see me. Give me about 5 minutes. Then I want you to come back here and stay here. And I'll phone you later. And don't worry. Leave everything to me.
Yes, Myra. Leave everything to Craig. He'll know what to do. Quickly, you go downstairs, drive the car around to the rear of the building, and a few minutes later, you're back in your apartment. Craig is gone with Myra, and he's taken the murder weapon with him, a paper knife with your name engraved on the blade, part of a desk set, a gift of the studio workers. Yes, Craig will have to get rid of the knife too, won't he, Myra? The hours drag by slowly, and you pace the floor of your apartment, waiting, but Craig doesn't call. You're almost at the breaking point when finally, just before dawn.
Craig?
Miss Cartwright?
Yes, who is this?
Frank Collins. I'm Craig's lawyer. He asked me to call you.
Where's Craig?
At the police station. They're holding him for the murder of for the murder of his wife, Norma.
No, he didn't do it. I tell you, they can't hold him.
Afraid they can, Miss Cartwright. You see, half an hour ago, Craig signed a full confession.
You may proceed, Mr. Kendall.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Douglas, you have told the court that during a quarrel with your wife at the Lady from the Sea Cafe, that in a blind rage you struck her several times with a knife.
Yes, yes.
What became of the murder weapon? What did you do with the knife?
I told you I didn't know what I was doing. I don't remember.
You don't remember? Oh, no, really, Mr. Douglas.
Your Honor, I object. The defendant has already testified that in a moment of uncontrolled rage or sudden emotion...
But, Your Honor, the murder weapon is of vital importance.
Objection sustained.
Mr. Douglas, just what do you remember? You struck your wife several times with the knife. And then?
Then she fell to the floor. Somehow I must have wandered outside. And after that, I remember standing by the rail.
And how long were you out there?
I don't know. Then I came back in and called the police. And that's all I remember.
Here we are, miss. 5 minutes and keep your hands off the screen.
Yes, yes, of course.
Hello, Myra.
Craig. Oh, Craig.
Oh, no, no, Myra, it's all right. The trial's over, and that's the worst part.
Darling, 15 years. 15 years.
If my lawyer hadn't managed to have the charge reduced to manslaughter, it might have been much worse.
Craig, why? Why did you do it? Why did you confess?
Because I love you, Myra. Because you have a career before you. Not like Norma's, based on a pretty face and a few cheap tricks, but something really great.
And what if you're wrong? If I'm a failure? You'll have given up your freedom for nothing.
No. No, I would have done it anyway.
Craig?
Yes?
The knife, they never found the knife.
Now, don't worry. There's no safer place in the world than where I put it.
But I've got to get it sometime. Tell me where it is.
No, no. If I told you, you'd go back and they might be watching.
But, Craig...
Don't worry, darling. It's safe where it is. Quite safe.
And now back to the Whistler.
And so, Myra, a shadow entered your life. The shadow of a night. A shadow that has been with you now for 10 years. 10 years since Craig Douglas went to prison. 10 years since his Lady of the Sea Cafe passed into other hands. The murder of Norma Douglas, his wife, is almost forgotten. But you've never forgotten it, have you? Even when success followed success, as your fame and power grew in the motion picture world, you have remembered. For you love Craig Douglas. Yes, and he knows where the knife is hidden. Even now as you stand on the set between takes, the whole horrible nightmare comes back to you, and you struggle to keep it out of your mind. As you turn to light a cigarette, you see your maid walking towards you.
What is it, Ella?
Miss Mara.
What's the matter?
Easier. In your bungalow. Who is? Mr. Douglas.
Craig. Craig.
Hello, Myra.
Craig, you... Craig.
Don't look so upset, Myra. It'll take a little time to get used to me.
But how did you... I mean...
Time off for good behavior. I'm on parole.
Oh, I see. I'm so glad, Craig.
You don't seem to be, Myra.
But of course I am. Why shouldn't I be glad after all?
Well?
You've changed so, Craig. You look so different.
Yes, yes. 10 years in prison can do a lot to a man. But inside I haven't changed. I still love you, Myra. Oh, darling, I've thought so often how it would be to see you again, to put my arms around you.
Craig, please.
But, Myra...
Well, it's just that someone might come, I...
Well, someone has. Me, the man who went to prison for a murder you committed.
Craig, what are you going to do?
Do? Myra, don't you understand? I'm back. I'm free. Darling, we're free.
Craig, don't touch me.
Oh. So that's it. You're not in love with me anymore.
I was when you went away.
Yes, yes, you were in love with me then. When I had money, influence, when I could help you, when I could give you 10 years of my life to save you. That's pretty funny now, isn't it? What's happened to all our plans, Myra?
Craig, please. I'm a star. My whole life belongs to my public.
You're a phony, just like Norm.
I've got to think of my public. I can't tie myself down to...
to an old man? Why don't you say it, Myra? Say it.
Say it! Please, Craig.
So you're going to let me walk out of here? You're going to thank me for 10 years, pat my hand, and let me walk out?
I'll see that you're taken care of. You'll have everything you need.
Everything I need? Paying me off. What's the matter, Myra? Your conscience bothering you? Or is it the knife?
You have it?
No, it's still hidden. With a note, Myra. A note that tells all about how Norma was killed.
A note? Where, Craig, where?
It will look at you out of blind eyes, Myra. Like the girl in the Ibsen play, a land creature who can no longer find her way back again to the sea.
Tell me.
I think I'd better go.
No. Wait, please, Craig.
Goodbye, Myra.
Craig!
There's no point in going after him, is there, Myra? Craig will never tell you where he's hidden the knife. And now there's the little matter of a note, too. A note that will brand you as a murderess. A quarter of an hour later, you walk back out on the set, seemingly calm. But inside you, the cold hand of fear clutches at your heart. The cameras roll again. There are takes and retakes, scene after scene. You keep fumbling your lines. You can't concentrate. You can't get Craig off your mind. Finally, late that evening, you drive home. Spend a sleepless night thinking about Craig, wondering what he'll do. Then the following morning, while you're having breakfast, a visitor arrives.
Miss Myra?
What is it, Ella?
There's a gentleman to see you. A Lieutenant Perez. Police department.
Police? Have him come in, Ella.
This way, sir.
Morning, Miss Cartwright.
Sorry to disturb you, but this is rather important.
It's quite all right, Lieutenant.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about Craig Douglas.
What about him?
We found a coat identified as his at the end of Paradise Pier this morning, up by that old cafe he used to own, built like a ship.
What?
We believe, Miss Cartwright, he may have committed suicide.
The years have rolled by since that morning when Lieutenant Perez of the Los Angeles Police made his call. 5 more years, Myra, but the shadow has remained. Craig's body was never found, and there was no proof that he was really dead. Of course, as the lieutenant had explained, the tides under the old pier were swift and treacherous. Yes, Myra, as treacherous as the knife Craig had hidden. The knife and the note that no one found, unless someone should find them today. For now it's 1948. 5 years have passed since Craig's coat was found on the pier. You've had a long time to think about it, haven't you, Myra? But your thoughts have brought you nothing. Until this morning, when the newspaper told you of the auction at the Lady of the Sea Cafe. Then it hit you. That's where Craig hid the knife and the note. Somewhere in his beloved Lady of the Sea Cafe. As you hurry up the gangplank to the auction, you're quite certain that Craig has hidden them somewhere on board ship.
Careful there, ma'am.
What?
These old boards ain't as smooth as they used to be. No, sir. I remember in the old days...
What do you know about the old days?
Plenty, ma'am. Used to run a sightseeing boat right off this pier in the late 20s. Yep. The lady's taken quite a buffeting since those days. Face cracked wide open now.
What are you talking about?
The lady... That's what I call a figurehead. The carved woman up there on the prow of the ship. Used to set my sights on her in the old days.
Oh, the figurehead, yes.
You were going to the auction?
Yes, where...
Over there, the dining saloon. That way. Ain't much interested in what's going on myself. I'm just waiting till they get round to her. The lady up there. Gonna get her, too. What you figure on bidding for, ma'am?
I don't know. Perhaps for my life.
Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. And now back to the Whistler.
Yes, Myra, as you sit in the dining salon of the old ship-like cafe, listening to the drone of the auctioneer's voice, you realize that you're about to bid for your life, aren't you? You stare at the jumble of furnishings from the cafe, but there's nothing, nothing that would hide a knife for 15 years. As each item goes under the block, you watch carefully, strain your memory for some clue.
85 once, 85 twice, sold for 85. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to lot number 8. You will find a full description of each item in your...
The auction is almost over, isn't it, Myra? Frantically, you glance around the room at the remaining articles. And as you do, you catch sight of the old man you met on deck. The old sailor who is going to bid on the carved figurehead. And then suddenly Craig's words come back to you.
It will look at you out of blind eyes.
Yes, blind eyes. That's it, isn't it, Myra? The lady carved out of wood on the prow of the ship. Quickly, you hurry out to the deserted deck, up to the figurehead. You slip around the narrow passageway, stand for a moment looking up at the carved figure, the cracked face. Quickly, you climb on the rickety wooden railing, pull yourself up until you reach the carved face.
Lady! Lady! What are you doing up there?
It's got to be here. It must be. It must be in here.
Lady, better be careful. That railing...
If I could just get my hand inside...
Ma'am, the railing is critting. Look out!
You say you saw it happen, old-timer?
That's right, officer. I was standing right here when the rail gave way, and she fell down there. You, find her body yet?
No, we won't for a while anyway. Have you any idea what the woman was up to?
Nope. Seemed to be trying to get her arm through a crack in the figurehead. Then the rail gave way.
Uh-huh. About this note, you say it was inside the figurehead?
Must have been. When the lady fell, part of the figurehead went down there in the water with her. I was standing here when this piece of paper fell to the deck.
Huh. Dear Myra, I think you should know that I threw the knife into the sea on the night Norma died. I think you should know, too, that she was still alive when I carried her out of your apartment. I had to finish the job.
Queer, ain't it, officer? Now, that other writing there, the bottom of the page, can't figure that out either. Sounds like it's from a play or something.
You mean this?
Yeah, right there.
For you are mine, and mine you shall remain, and you shall follow me. If I should come back and fetch you as a drowned man from the dark sea...
The lady in the sea. Kids, that was scary. I mean, that was really scary. And that lady in the sea, and she was real trouble. I mean, she really made waves, huh? Yes, yes. I mean, the way... Take that plot, for instance. The way that it went up and down, it's what you might call a real seesaw, huh? But the end was the most. I mean, the auction, the knife hunt... In what you might call the waterfall. Yeah, can't you just hear her now? Huh? Huh? I can, I tell you, huh? Yes, everything was happening at once. It was a real, what, how do you say, come ocean? But now the bad girl's right where she belongs. All washed up, huh? Played so. That is, after all, what the boyfriend wanted, isn't it? To turn the tide on her? Yes, yes. Well, I guess I'd better go before the humor gets too watered down. So until next time, same bat time, same bat station, this is the Count saying, be seeing you.
Returns control of your radio device to you until next week.
No.